Hello and welcome to the Personal Today Friday podcast. I'm Tara Craig and I'm joined by Kat Baker and Rob Moss. Coming up, we have the latest on swine flu and we hear about proposed redundancy pay cuts within the civil service. But first, the news. Less than a third of public sector workers know the value of their final pension. In a survey by pension advisory specialist Hymans Robertson, just 29.7% of 1,809 public sector workers polled said that they knew the value of their final pension. A third of those surveyed said they were unhappy with the information they received on their pension schemes, rising to 42% for those in the NHS. Data from the NHS Information Centre has revealed that more than one in 20 medical and dental posts were vacant at the end of March, in some cases for months at a time. At the same time, thousands of nursing and midwifery posts were also unfilled. According to the report, the NHS is under unsustainable pressure due to shortages of doctors, nurses and other clinical staff. 5,500 jobs have been left unfilled for 3 months or more. An equal pay claim has cost Bury Council more than £600,000. The claim was prompted by women staff such as dinner ladies and cleaners missing out on bonuses paid to janitors and gardeners, typically men. It was settled amicably by other Greater Manchester councils, most of whom negotiated agreed compensation figures. Bury, however, opted to hold out for a legal ruling. The debate continues in our online forum, HR Space. We'd love to hear your views there. Go to hrspace.co.uk. Kat, you are going to update us on swine flu.
Yes, a survey out this week by absence management firm FirstCare has found that young people take three times as many sick days off with flu in July compared to older workers, which adds weight to the NHS theory that the over 60s may have partial resistance to swine flu. The survey found that 16 to 20 year olds took 11 days off sick in July compared with just 2.8 days for workers over 60, while overall absence shot up from 1.7 days in July 2008 to 5 days per 1,000 employees in July 2009.
Do we expect the situation to get worse through August and September?
Yes, FirstCare has found that the figures for August so far show an average of 5.7 days lost per 1,000 employees so far this week, compared to just 1.2 days lost in the same week last year. Aaron Ross, Chief Executive and Director of FirstCare, told Personnel Today there is no other reason than swine flu for the figures to have increased so much at this time of year. The figures include everything from cold and flu absences to suspected and confirmed cases of swine flu.
Thanks, Kat. Expert HR has put together answers to frequently asked questions about swine flu. We have a short audio clip here.
Where there's an employee who is exhibiting the symptoms of swine flu or who's been in contact with someone who has swine flu, can the employer simply send them home or instruct them not to come to work?
Well, employers have a duty to ensure the health and safety of their employees and to provide a safe system and place of work. And employees themselves have a duty to take reasonable care not to endanger themselves or others by their acts or omissions at work. So bearing in mind those duties of care and also the potentially disastrous consequences for an employer if swine flu gets into the workplace and spreads amongst the employees, then the employer would be justified in instructing somebody who was showing swine flu symptoms to go home, to seek a medical diagnosis and not to return to work until those symptoms had cleared.
So what about the situation where somebody it's not got swine flu themselves, but has been in contact with someone who has swine flu, for example, a family member?
Where the employee's not got the symptoms themselves, but has merely been in contact with someone who's got swine flu, then the government guidance is that on risk grounds, it's not necessary for the employer to send that individual home. I mean, obviously, the employer and employee might want to agree between themselves that the employee, for example, works at home during the incubation period, typically 1 to 4 days, so that they're sure that they haven't developed swine flu symptoms during that period.
Okay, so if it's just a case of being in contact with someone, then it's flexible and it's up to the employer and the employee to work something out should they want to. Where someone actually is exhibiting the symptoms, then really they should go home until they're better.
You can watch the full Expert HR Outlook video at personaltoday.com/flu. Rob, what can you tell us about the proposed redundancy pay cuts across the civil service?
Yeah, sure, Tara. Well, back in March, you may remember that Gordon Brown announced that there would be some changes to the civil service compensation scheme. And they were announced last Friday. And not surprisingly, they haven't been met with particular delight by the unions. Basically, the plan is to slash thousands of pounds from the total bill to the taxpayer. The idea is to cut thousands of pounds from the bill paid by the taxpayer, and the government has announced the reform to what it's calling inflexible and expensive. There are big question marks around the way the system in the civil service currently works, and I think many people judge it to be age discriminatory as well. But what they're looking to do is to cut redundancy packages from up to 3 years' pay at the moment to as little as 24 weeks. So that's, 5 or 6 months. That would bring it in line with more in line with private sector terms, and could save almost £500 million over the next 3 years.
Will this affect new joiners or people already working in the civil service?
Well, most of the changes are expected to come into effect in January 2010, although there may be transitional terms available for people who've been in service before July 2007. Clearly, the unions, the PCS union and other unions that operate in the public sector.
Do we know how many people this is likely to affect?
Thousands, I think. A statement on the proposals on the civil service website says that the proposed approach is intended to provide fair outcomes for all stakeholders, staff, employers and taxpayers, and to improve accountability. I go on to say that the current terms set out in this is called the Civil Service Compensation Scheme. The current terms have changed little since 1987, and the terms are now seen as inflexible, expensive, and have been challenged, as I said earlier, as age discrimination. The big part there is that there's a plan to remove the 50 plus rule that states that officials over the age of 50 applying for early retirement can get immediate payment of unreduced pensions and additional years of services credited as well. Clearly, if you're 49 and you don't get that, then that would be seen as ageist.
What have the unions had to say about this?
Well, Mark Sawatka, he heads up the PCS union. He described the proposals as a disgraceful attempt by government to replace a fair negotiated right to decent compensation with a bargain basement payoff at a time of massive insecurity over jobs. He continued that both the main parties, backed by the head of the civil service, Gus O'Donnell, are talking about slashing public spending, and tens of thousands of PCS members are worried about their futures and livelihoods.
Okay, thank you, Rob. Well, that's it from this week's podcast. Thanks for listening. Remember to go online to check the latest news and views from the HR community at hrspace.co.uk. That's hrspace.co.uk. Until next week, goodbye.